Day coming into Tucson. Greg Byrne and Rich Rodriguez have worked tirelessly to get people to pay attention, and high school players in the state of Arizona and even on the West Coast to just come visit Tucson. So for them to have College Game Day this Saturday is huge for Greg Byrne and Rich Rodriguez. And I want to talk to him about that game as they play UCLA. So a lot that's going on in the world of sports. You were in TCU, right? You took the weekend away.
Correct. Went to Texas.
And how was that game?
Not very good.
Yeah. Why'd you go?
Well, because I'm an alum. So, I have to
go to the Baylor game.
I mean, they're going to be the fourth-ranked team in the country until Saturday, so I had to enjoy it, you know?
What's going to happen Saturday?
The storm is coming. The Frogs are doomed. They've lost 7 defensive starters to injury.
Ah.
They've got a walk-on starting at safety. And they're entering Big 12 play.
Wow,
in a league that plays all offense and no defense.
You sound like a downer. Who do you guys have this week?
They're playing Texas Tech.
I like Texas Tech after what happened over the weekend. Cliff Kingsbury going after Brett Bielema.
It's amazing.
Awesome.
Just really good.
Just awesome. Like, that was one of the highlights. It was a great weekend.
Don't hear that very much, Brad. Usually coach speak is coach speak, and they talk nice about each other. But clearly, Bielema touched a nerve over the summer, saying, oh, you're never going to beat us with no fullback and a bunch of wide receivers and throwing the ball 70 times. And that definitely stuck in the back of Kingsbury's mind because his dad's a high school football coach.
Well, and he said it at a high school convention, which is not the brightest. Brett Bielema is going to get blown out at Arkansas at some point. I mean, all coaches do eventually. I found myself Saturday. First of all, I was under the weather. I caught a bug, so I didn't go to Tucson. So I just laid there and vegged all day. I saw Ohio State struggle with Northern Illinois. And I watched Alabama get crushed by Mississippi, even though they came back and they made it close. I felt bad for the kicker at Texas. I watched a ton of college football Saturday. And Friday night, I was out at some high school games and paid a little bit of attention to the ASU game. I'm not going to let college try to ramrod it down our throats on Friday nights. I'm just not big on that. So, and then yesterday, it was all about the Cardinals. I didn't care about the Cowboys and Eagles. I don't care. I know Chip Kelly talks a lot. I really don't care about Rex Ryan. You know, the pregame shows love this stuff because they need something to fill an hour with. But I don't know. The last time I've checked, which is like every time Rex Ryan opens his mouth, nothing happens. He's one of these guys that after a while, you just go, eh. You know, so what? I just don't care. But let's start with the Cardinals and their win at Chicago yesterday. There's a few things right off the top. The Cardinals did not play well defensively early in the game. First couple drives, it was 14-14, okay? So, and then there was Calais Campbell and Frosty Rucker that were getting after the guys on the sidelines, and they turned it on. And once Jay Cutler got, intercepted and returned, he's grabbing his hamstring, he's out of there. Do you imagine having Jay Cutler as the guy that you're hanging hope on? Right now, the only two quarterbacks in the entire National Football League that have not been sacked through two games are Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton. If you would have had that at the start of the year, you would have won a lot of money if you put money down on that. So the offensive line has been better. They're probably going to get Upati back this week, and they'll be better than that. So, I mean, I'm not going to get too high in week two of the season. The Cardinals have done what they're supposed to do. Sounds like Denny Green. We are who we thought they were. They've done what they're supposed to do. The Saints lost again yesterday. The Bears aren't any good. So they've beaten two teams that just aren't very good so far. David Johnson has been terrific. It's another Steve Keim draft pick that you look at and say, okay, is it Matt Forte that's out there that they drafted? It was terrific yesterday, not just the kickoff return. The kickoff return, it looked like he was shuffling his feet and just kind of sort of waiting, and then boom, he took off. And Carson, there were some cheap shots by the Bears yesterday, I thought. I thought the Bears came in low. I thought the Bears played like a team that was undisciplined, it was obvious by the number of penalties that they had. But a little bit of the unprofessional side. You start going after guys' knees, and there could have been easily, in my mind, 18, 20 penalties been called on the Bears yesterday in the game. So for Carson to find Larry Fitzgerald and get him back running, we got to talk to Fabiano now, because Fabiano was talking about how Fitz was undrafted in several fantasy football leagues. And many of you guys now are saying, who can I get to replace Dez Bryant? I got to think Larry's just... Psh. But they're 2-0. They have the 49ers here. That's a game that they should win. It's at home. The 49ers have been, eh. Yeah, they took apart Minnesota, but I watched the Pittsburgh game yesterday. There was no challenge put up by San Francisco. But there's areas that they can improve upon. That's my point. On the college front, so let's talk a little bit further. And through the week, the buildup to the USC-Arizona State game. Okay, I'll get over to U of A and UCLA with Rich Rod in a bit, and maybe in this segment too. But Arizona State started to do some things better than what they'd shown in their first couple of games. I don't want to hear, Brad, you're saying it's against New Mexico. I don't care who it is that they lined up against. I don't. I mean, against Texas A&M, they couldn't do much of anything right. And most notably to me was Berkovici saying, I'm going to run the football a little bit. I am going to use my legs. I am going to use my athleticism. And yeah, DeMario Richard was terrific. I got it. Understood. But look, last year, in the last couple of years, when Taylor Kelly decided to run with the football, he would make big plays, big gashing plays. They're still trying to figure out their wide receivers. I don't know if Tim White is all that. It was New Mexico, okay? So I'm not getting too high. I'm not getting too low. But the fact that Berkovici was comfortable enough to get out and run a little bit. I watched almost all the USC-Stanford game on Saturday night, and people were saying, oh my gosh, what an upset. I can't believe Stanford was able to win. Stanford did what a David Shaw team does. Hogan was terrific at quarterback. He used his feet. He made a USC defense, which, by the way, lost Leonard Williams. And the last time I looked at USC, which was Saturday night, they're not very good. They had a lot of stupid penalties. USC is an undisciplined team, like their coach. Facts are, okay, maybe harsh, but the facts are the coach undisciplined off the field. What do you know? His team, through the first few games, they rolled through nobodies, and then when they meet a very good team in Stanford, and don't tell me that, well, Stanford lost to Northwestern. Northwestern beat Duke over the weekend. Northwestern is undefeated. Northwestern's ranked. So Stanford lost to a good team. I think if you watch the game, though, and you saw that Kevin Hogan was able to use his athleticism and his feet to pick up first downs and move the chains, and they wore USC's defense out. So my point is, when Berkovici is able to run, doesn't matter if it's against New Mexico. He didn't, Eric, against Texas A&M, you were there. I'm trying to remember. He did not.
He had to run for his life. Exactly. He ran for his life. Yeah. And he didn't. He had a couple runs where they were all deep routes, and the secondary backed off, and he had a couple 15, 20-yard scrambles. But for the most part, he didn't run because he wanted to run. He ran because he had to.
And the other night, I don't know if you saw the game. You're traveling, but
I did not, no. Yeah, but there's no Pac-12 network in Texas. You know that.
Shocking.
Yeah.
But he was able to use his feet and his athleticism. Now, the more interesting story about this upcoming game is the seat is already warm on Steve Sarkisian. And here's the thing. Arizona State's coaching staff has never been afraid to play against Steve Sarkisian. It's not like they tell me we're afraid of this coach or that coach. I'm just telling you, when he was at Washington and now he's at USC, there isn't a, oh my gosh, it's Sark. He's got to feel the heat. Pat Hayden has to feel the heat. J.K. McKay, who's part of the athletic department, has to feel the heat. Big Cigar alums over there are being laughed at and embarrassed. And the last time that USC was here was the very last game for Lane Kiffin. They got destroyed. They got rolled. They got run over. It feels on a Monday a little bit like that same sort of buildup to this game. If Sark loses this and they're 0-2 in the conference, you can be darn sure that people are going to be coming after him in the Los Angeles media. And they already are to a certain extent. So we'll talk about that. On the U of A front, they did what they're supposed to do. No offense to our friends at NAU, but that's what's supposed to happen. If you're hitting on all cylinders and you're U of A, you're supposed to go put up 60 or 70. It's a payday. That's how it works. Nick Wilson is seventh in the country in rushing. He was terrific. All right, Paula Bovin's next. Talk to Paula about the Cardinals, the ASU thoughts, and game day coming to Tucson, all straight ahead. In about 10 minutes, Charles Davis, Fox NFL analyst. He called the Bears-Cardinals game yesterday with Tom Brenneman. And then Rich Rodriguez will join us at about 10:45. I'm Brad Sussmat. Paula Bovin joins us now. News and notes. AZ Central sports columnist on a busy Monday. Man, there's a lot going on. Let's start with the pro side of things. The Bears are awful, just flat out awful. What struck you most about the Cardinals' win yesterday over Chicago?
Carson Palmer. And part of it was I watched this, I think it was a feature NFL Network did, and I didn't realize what he put into the offseason. I had heard a lot, but, I mean, he was talking about he didn't eat a carb for 6 days a week, the amount of time he worked out. He's maybe playing his best football, and now he's got all these great weapons around him. The fact they utilize Larry Fitzgerald the way they did, things like that. I thought it was fantastic. It was fun to watch.
Too early to anoint Steve Keim as another successful draft. I know that DJ Humphries is affectionately known as knee deep, or actually just known as knee deep because of the foot up his backside. But
right.
Man, David Johnson has just been a terrific pick by Keim.
Oh, fantastic. Just versatile. And you look at all the players that went before he was selected in the draft. Mm-hmm. Even Jonathan Cooper, a guy who really was coming off a tough year and the injuries and questions that, his head coach also had for him. They saw something, and then clearly he's starting to step up, too, and a big reason that line is successful. Absolutely. I think Keim's done a wonderful job.
Okay, so we're talking with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. Over on the defensive side of the football, I didn't think they played great early. It was a 14-14 game, and the first two drives for the Bears, they just went right down the field. There was the blown coverage for the touchdown. I saw on Twitter where Calais and Frosty Rucker, I think it was Kent Summers actually that tweeted this, they were having a meeting, so to speak, on the sidelines with their defense trying to figure things out. And once they picked off Cutler, I thought he quit. He didn't want any part of being out there.
Right.
Injured or not, but, was it his shoulder? Was it his knee? Was it his head? Was it his hamstring? Whatever it was, he didn't want to be out there anymore. And so I really think the defense was the story to me yesterday. Yeah, they found fits for touchdowns finally, but the defense just imposed their will on a bad team, which is what you're supposed to do if you're really good.
Oh, it's a great point. And, I was wondering about their defense going into the season when you deal with changes on the coaching staff, a very good change. I mean, it's a legitimate concern, but you can see they also have that thing that's defined them a lot over the years, kind of that big play mentality, too, of sometimes they'll give up yards, but someone always seems to step up, whether it's an interception, whether it's the sack of the quarterback, and their stats may not always be ideal, but they just seem to get things done, and you're right, the way they're finding that they're now on the same page, maybe, three games into the season, pretty impressive.
And they should get Upati back this week, it sounds like. And so they'll get deeper on the offensive front. So you try to play these games of, you look at the schedule and say, well, they're better than the 49ers. They're better than the Rams. They're better than the Lions. I don't know if they're better than the Steelers. I think they're better than the Ravens now that Suggs isn't there. They're better than Cleveland. I could play this game all day long, but the facts are, if you look at the NFC West through a couple of weeks, and I have no doubt teams are going to bounce back, Paula, but the Cardinals right now are the best team in the NFC West, and it doesn't even look to be close right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to see the Seahawks get better. I mean, they opened up with a tough schedule, and clearly losing in Green Bay is nothing to be embarrassed about, and you still have Russell Wilson, and you still have a lot of talent on that team. So we're going to see, I think, a different Seahawks team. But as far as a team taking care of business, of starting out strong, and something I just said before, of being on the same page, it sounds so cheesy, but you look at some of these NFL teams, and they're not looking that way at all. I mean, what a disaster from all the offseason stuff with the 49ers. Colin Kaepernick, they can't have a lot of anymore. So, yeah, I'm really impressed whatever that, these Cardinals did in the offseason to get them to look so ready this early has been impressive.
Talking with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. She joins us every Monday, sports360az.com with Brad Sussmat. The last time USC was here, we saw Lane Kiffin leave the field for the final time. I am thinking there is an outside possibility that could be the same thing for Steve Sarkisian, based on my friends and big cigars over there in USC that are talking about their coach. This game against ASU and USC, is actually, to me, more interesting in the subplot than the U of A-UCLA game this week.
Well, you know, and you mentioned that Kiffin thing, and someone had told me that they actually, SC, during that ASU game, when he was fired, or, you know, he was fired not long after that, they had a meeting in Sun Devil Stadium, Hayden and other people, about what are we going to do with this guy. And, you know, then there's a whole tarmac story and basically getting fired on a tarmac. So,
yep.
You know, I don't know if it's there yet. I mean, certainly his record isn't awful. What was he, 9-4 last year or something? Coming off a loss now isn't very good, but is that off? Are you getting the sense that stuff off the field is enough to
sure? I mean, they
to
were
get it done the season.
Paula, they had no discipline. They were penalized not as much as the Bears, but close. Stanford just imposed their will. They look undisciplined. He's supposed to be this top recruiter. They didn't replace Leonard Williams. They don't have much of a pass rush. I think if Bercovici uses his legs like Kevin Hogan did Saturday night, ASU wins easily. Actually.
Yeah, I don't see him win easily just because I see some of the issues ASU have. But it's really surprising what has happened to SC. I mean, there's guys on that team who have had four different coaches. How are they continually making bad hires for a program that esteemed? We both know Pat Hayden. I mean, he's as class and act as you'll find. But it has been one fiasco after another.
Yes.
And if they're losing another coach this season or after this season, that's a sad state for that program.
Well, it's not just football either with Pat Hayden. And we like Pat Hayden. I mean,
right,
both of
right.
us not like him and covered him. But
sure.
But his basketball program, that's been a disastrous hire as well. So I just think that's interesting. Which game are you going to, U of A, UCLA, or ASU, USC?
I'm going to ASU, USC. Scott Bordeaux will be down at the U of A game. And I'm just intrigued by both. And I think you're right. I mean, I think ASU has, I know they're 6-point underdogs, I think. But I think ASU has a shot if they play as they did for much of the second half. And I think UCLA, UA is a coin flip. I mean, you know, granted it's NAU, but you're scoring 70 points or whatever. That's taking care of business.
Well, you know, and I know Greg Byrne well. And we've sat with Greg, and he's talked about trying to figure out how to get high school kids in the state of Arizona to start looking to Tucson. And this is it. They've got the magnet of ESPN College Game Day in Tucson Saturday. So it's an enormous week in our state. It really is.
Yep, no question. They got those shiny red metallic helmets,
yeah.
U of A does. That kind of stuff, you know. It matters
it
to
sells,
those young recruits.
Sure, sure. All right, stay well. See you.
You too, Brad.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes every week. On the other side, Charles Davis. He was in the booth yesterday watching the Cardinals destroy the Bears. He's next, Fox Sports college or pro football commentator, Charles Davis. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Charles Davis joins us now for a couple of minutes, as promised. Fox NFL analyst. He was in the booth yesterday watching the destruction by the Cardinals, taking the Bears apart. If there were any more penalty flags, I felt bad for you and Tom yesterday. It was like, come on, guys, give these poor guys a flow to the game. But, you know, what struck me in listening to you, there were a number of things, and I want to start with David Johnson, just the opening kickoff, and then what you're seeing out of this rookie running back for the Cardinals, Charles.
I like him a bunch. He is just absolutely terrific. And, you know, I watched him coming out of college. You know, you know I do that draft stuff, you
sure.
know, whether I know what I'm talking about or not. You know, that's for other people to decide. But I liked him a bunch coming out of college because I saw his versatility. He ran with power. He played for a big-time program. Not many people in the country know the University of Northern Iowa. But that's a big-time program in 1AA, okay, or football championship subdivision. I hate those things, but that's just me. And they played the best, you know, they played in the best conference in the country because they played in the Missouri Valley. And last year, the Missouri Valley had the two finalists for the national championship game. So you're dealing with playing big-time opponents, North Dakota State, Illinois State, right? They play bigs to start the season. If you go in and plug in David Johnson's tape to start the year, his senior year there against Iowa, you'd be hard-pressed to not say he's the best player on the football field that day.
Mm.
He was a wide receiver that they moved to running back. His wide receiver skills were in total evidence that day against Iowa. I think he caught, I can't remember exactly, but he caught double digits in passes that day. And they had no answer for him. So I was excited about that. And what was also interesting is he ran in, what, the 4.5s, I think, at the combine. So everybody's, oh, he got average speed. People forget that 4.5 speed is fast. And we saw that on Sunday, didn't we?
He brought
that kick back from 108 yards.
Yeah.
But the thing that I caught on that were two things. One, he didn't just take it and just hit it even if nothing was there. He was very patient as a runner, similar to what you'll see when he gets the ball in the backfield. But the blocking was tremendous on the kickoff return. And then once he saw the gap, now he was gone. And then that just blew me away. He's a mature kid, a great kid, and by now you know the background about him working every summer in order to be on campus and be able to lift weights. That's an extra thing to me that goes into the arsenal for him, that this is a kid who's not afraid of hard work. So David Johnson, I'm a big fan of him, in case you can't tell.
I got you on that. I want to get it right out of you with the draft stuff. Charles Davis, Fox NFL analyst with Brad Sussmat. He did the Cardinals-Bears game yesterday. Actually, the next 2 weeks, he and Tommy and Tony Siragusa will have the Cardinals this week against the 49ers, the following week against the Rams. What struck you most, big broad stroke, of yesterday's win for the Cardinals?
The defense is not really changing, which we had heard, because, you know, when James Betcher got promoted after Todd Bowles got the job, I had heard that he was under one order from Arians, which was, we're not adapting to anything new, but big guy. What we're doing works, so take your ego, check it at the door. I want that same defense. Terminology, calls, I don't want the guys having to change because you're the new coordinator. If you have to do some adapting, that's fine. That's one person and a small staff versus the guys who are out on the field. I want them playing as fast as they've been playing. I want them not having to think of it. I want them flowing and running to the ball. Well, James Betcher has taken that challenge from BA and has lived it. He's adding his own tweaks and twists and things that he's not going to talk about. They're a very egoless staff, but they play with the same passion that they showed under Ray Horton. Because people forget Ray Horton kind of started this thing off.
Yep.
Then Todd Bowles, and now under Betcher. Two straight weeks now that teams have really had trouble with them. Right before the half, when those errors happened, J.J. Nelson on the punt return fumble, Carson Palmer throwing the interception, that defense shut them down with field goals both times. That's championship defense right there. I don't care if it's the first string or the eighth string quarterback. Okay, you've changed your momentum. You're right back on the field. You're angry. What's going on offense? What's going on special teams? They don't let that bother them, and they go. And I made one comment in the game, and I probably need to flesh it out a little bit. They remind me a lot of a college defense in terms of those college defense that run that 4-2-5 hybrid stuff with where the strength's in the secondary. Well, I'm not wrong, but I probably didn't flesh it out as well as I should. Maybe I'll be able to do that over the next two games. When you see that defensive front, three-man front, four-man front, whatever it is, and you'll see them with 5, 6, 7 defensive backs, but they all have different capabilities and roles. Deion Buchanan may be listed as a defensive back, but he's playing linebacker in that situation, and he does it quite well. Tyrann Mathieu will be anywhere. He could be the nickel, he could be a corner, he could be a safety, he could be a linebacker. But the way that all of them, you know, Rashad Johnson fulfills similar roles.
Tony Jefferson, yeah.
Who I saw at Oklahoma, who played safety and linebacker-wise at Oklahoma. How fast and sudden they all are to the ball. There was one play where Calais Campbell had come from defensive end and helped make the play 10, 15 yards downfield, not towards the quarterback, going the other way. When I see a team run to the ball like that, that team's got a chance to be really, really successful because the effort is there, the technique is there, and there's a belief that they're pretty good. They walk around. You can just see it when you watch them. They were around with the idea, yeah, we're pretty darn good, and we'll take on anyone's challenge. And they're going to get challenged over the next couple of weeks because I think San Francisco wants to play big boy football and run it. And I think St. Louis wants to play big boy football and run it. It'd be interesting if St. Louis gets Todd Gurley back in time for that game.
Before I let you go, and we're talking with Charles Davis, when you look at Carson and coming off the surgeries from last year, and he gets fits yesterday, the 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns for Carson, what do you make out of Carson, what you see on the field right now? To me, he's a top 5 quarterback in the league.
Yeah, no argument with that. I have no argument with that. People can rank him however they want to. But a man of his age, of his accomplishments, of the disappointments he's weathered in his career, that makes the comeback he made from this last knee injury, tells me more about his character and his fortitude than anything else would. Because people forget. Everybody thinks, oh, he wants to come back. He wants to play. There's a contract. People understand he's made more than enough money. I don't think that's an issue with Carson Palmer. He hasn't won a playoff game. He hasn't gotten to the Super Bowl, obviously, if he hasn't won a playoff game. But he's had some highs, a couple Pro Bowls. But how about the disappointments? Last year he goes through the nerve thing in the shoulder. There's that. They're 9-1 and playing awfully well. The knee gets blown out. When he's in Cincinnati, they were a high-powered team. Knee gets blown out in the first quarter of the playoff game. You know, Cincinnati never quite got over the hump. The success Cincinnati's had over the last 4 years, Carson didn't have that. There's some frustration there. There's a feeling of, you know, hold it a second. I'm pretty darn good, yet I don't have the skins on the wall to show for it. Mm. Well, 15-2 in his last 17 in Arizona. This is what Carson Palmer, I'm sure, envisioned coming out of college with a Heisman Trophy in his hip pocket. Not a sub-500 record as a starting quarterback with two different franchises, but now he's got it going in Arizona. But, boy, that comeback off of that knee injury and that amount of time, the physical condition he's in, that translates mentally as well. I agree with you. To me, he's playing like a top-five quarterback in the league, and that team believes if Carson Palmer is leading them, not only can they compete with anyone, that team, to me, believes they can beat anyone in the league, and that's a powerful combination.
Good stuff there, Charles. As always, we'll see you Sunday at the stadium. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me. You take care. Look forward to getting there.
Charles Davis with us for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time. At Fox NFL analyst. And again, he'll have the Cardinals game this coming Sunday against the 49ers in the following week as well. Charles is just great. Just crushes it. Rich Rodriguez on the other side. Rich Rod, College Game Day with ESPN coming to Tucson this Saturday. U of A undefeated against UCLA. We'll talk with the Wildcat head coach. That's next. Welcome back. So on the college front, we'll have Rich Rodriguez joining us here in a couple of minutes down in Tucson. The college game day experience. So let's look at this a little bit. Whenever game day rolls in, it is a major production. We're going to send some, I think Jared Cohen's going to run down to Tucson on Friday for the whole setup. People get so excited when it's Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit. It just brings a level of credibility that you just don't see around a program that often. And usually game day goes to the usual spots. They'll go to Notre Dame. They'll go over to Alabama. They'll go down to Texas. They'll go to Florida. They'll play to the SEC because they have their SEC obligations. So I'm actually somewhat impressed that they're going outside the box and that they're looking at taking the show out west and taking it over to the U of A. It's not that they don't deserve it. It's just it doesn't happen. The last time that game day came to Tucson was 2009. And so U of A ranked 16th and UCLA ranked 9th. There's a few things about U of A that I've seen this year that have really struck me. And look, I know the ASU fan is going to say, well, they haven't played anybody. I don't care. I don't care. They play against the teams that show up on their schedule, and now they have UCLA. It's a big litmus test, obviously. But Nick Wilson has already rolled up 1,800 yards in his career at the U of A. Kadeem Carey holds the school record for rushing yards at 4,239. So, you know, you look at those numbers alone, and that's against good competition last year, this year for Nick Wilson. They've got a running attack. He's 7th in the nation, and so they can turn around and hand the football off. Add to that, Anu Solomon, there were some questions, I think, before the season started about whether or not they'd be good to go or not. And Anu has played well. Gerard Randall's played very well as well. So very much looking forward to the matchup, number 16 Arizona against number 9 UCLA, and that will be on Saturday afternoon and will be at 5 o'clock, and we will be down there as well. Rich Rodriguez joins us now for a couple of minutes from Tucson, U of A and UCLA. On Saturday night, game day is going to be there. National audience is going to be watching. But all over the internet today, it's all about cherry red helmets. I mean, come on. And game day being there. Can we get to the game itself, Coach?
Sure. But we always want to talk. The game is the most important thing, and I think it'll be a great atmosphere, not just with game day, but, you know, being home, being an early evening kickoff. Should be great weather, so be a lot of fun.
biggest game for you for sure since you've been in Tucson, right?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I mean, it's a big game, but I thought, you know, the last year's ASU game, you know, wound up being for the Pac-12 South Championship. That was pretty big. The Pac-12 Championship game, which we didn't play well, was pretty big. But this is a big one, but I don't know if it's the biggest.
From a notoriety standpoint nationally, your brand's out there, but this is going to amplify it. This is the biggest megaphone maybe you've ever had.
Yeah, it might be. You know, I think as I told the team, you when you go to a Division I school, you hope to be in an atmosphere like this, whether you get a lot of attention, right? Two ranked teams, both undefeated in the conference, a lot of hype. So sure, I want our guys to feel the kind of the big game atmosphere, and I think both teams are probably excited about it.
Seventh in the nation rushing for Nick Wilson. You're not surprised, or are you?
No, you know, he's a good player, and he's run really well. We've done a pretty good job up front, but you know, they're still the good thing about it is that we think we can execute and play a whole lot better, particularly in the run game. So you know, we got some things we got to clean up. Certainly, we're playing a very athletic UCLA defense, maybe the most athletic in our conference. So we got to get some things fixed in a hurry.
And BYU, though, was able to get 150-some-odd yards against them. So it's there as long as you said, your line is able to produce up front for Nick. Anu threw his first three games. What do you make out of Anu Solomon so far this season, Rich?
I think he's gotten a little better in each game. You know, there's a lot we put on our quarterbacks from an execution standpoint and from a decision standpoint. And, you know, last game was better than the other game, which was better than the first game. So he's a very conscientious guy, and I think we can continue to grow with him. But we've got to get better all the way around, too, around him. And we've been banged up a little bit receiver, and you know, we've hit some good passes, but at times we've not executed on some of the wide open plays or what we call touchdown plays, and we've got to hit those when they come up in the conference.
Arizona head football coach Rich Rodriguez with Brad Susmat. And add to that, you've had a bunch of wide receivers so far this year, even with the injury. You're spreading the ball to a lot of guys.
Yeah, and that's been good. I think, you know, there's always guys that you like certain matchups with and all that, but more than anything, our system is to run and throw with the numbers and not just throw it to a certain guy, but to the most open guy. Mm-hmm. And Anu's been really good about that, and particularly this year, and that's got to be the key for us going forward.
You know, what hasn't gotten much attention from my view is defensively in the back end. Parks and Neal and Allah, you're getting some plays being made on the back end of your defense. Can you talk about that side of the ball?
Yeah, we've been probably been pretty well chronicled our injury situation over there, particularly linebacker. It's been quite a challenge for our Coach Castillo and our defensive staff just to get healthy bodies to play at linebacker. And you know, we play, you know, three all the time, and you know, sometimes, you know, most of the time five DBs, sometimes six, but it's been quite a struggle to get the consistency simply because we've rolled so many different guys because of the injury at linebacker. But the secondary, particularly the veterans like Parks and Alaa, have been pretty consistent. Devontae's made a great transition. And we've been okay at times defensively. I thought we were pretty good in the Nevada game. I thought, you know, for three quarters in the last game, they were solid. But this is going to be a whole new challenge, and we've got to shore some things up. And defensively, we're not going to overwhelm people, but we can make plays and get turnovers, and that's what's going to be the key for us in this one.
Yeah, Paul Perkins, I don't think gets enough notoriety. He led the conference in rushing last season, and he's a tough one. Had a great game against BYU the other night, a Chandler High kid. Talk about trying to slow him down Saturday.
Yeah, he's been one of the best backs in the league the last couple years, and you're right, a lot of people haven't talked about him, but he's an explosive player, he does everything well, he's really fast, and I think he's one of the keys. Certainly, you know, their quarterback is always going to be a key, and they've got big wideouts, but I think Perkins might be the glue to their offense because he does so many things well, whether it's running the ball, catching, or even in protection.
What does this mean for you, Rich? I'm going back off the top of the interview here, but what does this game mean for your program nationally this week, game day coming in? Is there any more to it for your program?
Oh, I think so. I think certainly with game day coming in, there's a lot of attention, and not just on our program, which is so certainly a great thing, but also for the university. They get they're going to be featuring the University of Arizona and showing our campus and showing our atmosphere. And I've been bragging and to all recruits and everybody about it. Hey, just give us a chance to come look at us. Well, now they get a chance to see us. If they can get up early Saturday morning and turn on the TV, they'll get a chance to see the campus and see the atmosphere. And that's really a big bonus for our program.
What do you tell your recruits this week? Kids you're focusing on across the country, are you ramping that up a little bit more given the magnifying glass that'll be on your program?
Sure. Wake up and turn the TV on at 6 a.m. on Saturday and, and then try to stay awake for 5:30 or 5:22 in the afternoon and evening and see the kind of atmosphere we have each conference game at home.
Appreciate the time as always, Rich. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Brad.
Rich Rodriguez with us for a couple of minutes from Tucson checking in. U of A and UCLA, that will be this Saturday night at 5 o'clock. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our site right now. High School College Pro, Sports360AZ.com, Sports360AZ.com. Bookmark it, check it out. Thanks for being with us.